So I'm going to give you three answers to this. The first is in-person activity. We want to do things safely. I understand during the pandemic, it was important to transition and pivot and do Zoom and Microsoft Teams and all that. But we're here together with pizza and in a room where we're three-dimensional for a reason. Because this is real human interaction, right? If you were this big on a screen, all right, and I was this big, you'd be looking at the World Cup while talking to me, or maybe I'd be doing that, right? And so in-person interaction. And the events that we've been having, I don't know if you covered this, but here's another great story. We can get you some photos. Queen Diambi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. How often to get to meet a queen, an actual queen? And she was terrific. She was charismatic. She was heartfelt. She was here because she's a CUNY graduate herself. She went to Staten Island, but then she came here. She only had three stops in CUNY, Staten Island, because she went there. But then here, because we got two professors in biology who study this fish that comes from Lake Tanganyika, which is in the Congo, and they do experiments because they're looking at the fish. These fish, they change colors, and they're looking at the environment and so on. So that event with the Queen is just one. That day, we had three or four events. You know, the week before, or the month before, we had that famous mathematician. Did any of you go to that? It was like 250 people. I was a little worried. Are people going to come out for this? But they filled two overflow rooms at the main room, then two other rooms with math majors. And this guy was giving a lecture on math. I went in and I listened for a little bit. I thought, wow, I am too stupid to understand what he's saying, right? But he's like the world's most important mathematician. That same day, we had the White House liaison on anti-Semitism come visit us at Queens College. And it was the first college she had ever visited. She'd only been in the job for about 6 months or 9 months. And so the first answer is in-person activities that you are a part of. At all these events when the Queen was here, we made sure we had students. Right? These are not VIP things just for people with fancy titles. Every single one of these things we do, there's a student involved. If there's not a student involved, there's no reason to have it on a college campus. So that's number one, in-person activities. Okay. That I'm a part of too. I want to meet you. I'm constantly saying to our vice president, how can you get me to more events in front of students, whether that's our Division II athletics with the Knights. Have you seen the mascot, by the way? That's a great story. I'll tell you something. You can print this one. I think it's scary. have you seen the mascot? I don't know if it's just the guy or gal inside, but when I met the mascot was like 7 feet tall, and whoever it was a good performer. Like, that person was trying to scare me, and I thought, man, I don't like this mascot. This is like a really aggressive-looking knight, all right? And we're doing a ceremony that I believe the dean here is organizing. We're going to burn the old mascot suit, which is scary in its own way. It's a little dingy. It's been around for a while. But I said we need new mascots, so and you can go ahead and print that. Roo is scared of the mascot. It came out really like a knight. Right. So the first thing, in-person activities that you are at, that I am at, where we talk to one another, right? It's so important to get to know people and to know that they're human beings. They're not just a title. You know, I was delighted to learn that your advisor collects vinyl albums, and I recommended. I don't know if you actually downloaded or bought it, but I recommend it. I won't even tell you what it is, because that would divulge something about both my musical taste and his.
They'll have no idea.
This is our little secret, right? But no, it's good to do that, because we're human beings, right? We're not faces. We're on a screen. We're not our digital avatars. So that's number one. All right, number two is to build organizations, to build the student organizations, whether it's the Knight public news, whether it's the Knights, the men's and women's sports teams, all these organizations. There's a new neurodiverse club for students who are neurodiverse. There are about 100 students on our campus who identify as neurodiverse. I think that's fantastic. I want to see student clubs for every interest, every affinity, and these are all open to everyone. Because, all right, so I'm also going to say something. You're welcome to print this, right, but I don't want the faculty to take it the wrong way. So, and we've got a faculty member, so I'm going to try out the statement in front of a faculty member. You come to Queens College to be educated, okay? So I don't want you to mishear what I'm saying. You got to do your homework, you got to go to class, go to labs, you got to do the schoolwork. But I know something as someone who's now, I graduated college in 1988, it's a long time ago, graduated law school in 91. I've been in higher education, and so I try to read. So I'm read about what I do, about higher education policy, the psychology of students. I'm going to share something that people have discovered who study this. Do you know what people remember years later about their undergraduate experience? It's not the classes. All right, sorry to say that. That's what you're here for. It's important, but what they remember is the newspaper. The sports, meeting a boyfriend or girlfriend who becomes a husband or wife, or meeting the boyfriend or girlfriend who doesn't become the husband or wife, you know, the parties they had, whatever. But by the way, we are not a party school. That's good. We rank at the very bottom. I'm not making this up. When I was thinking about this job, I was doing my research. And in the 1980s, the New York Times published some article. You could probably find this. It says, Queens College ranks at the bottom of party schools. I read that and I thought, I'm okay with that. Okay, so I want it to be a good experience, all right? A fulfilling experience, a memorable experience, an enriching experience, one that prepares you. But if one of you said to me, hey, this is not a party school, I would say, yeah, it's not, all right? I want you to have fun, I want you to have good experiences, but I don't want to find out that there's a kegger every night in the Summit and that, you know, students are stumbling down Casino Boulevard. That's not who we are. There are other institutions that are like that. That's not who we are, okay? It's not who your parents want us to be. It's not what the borough wants us to be. But building the organizations that create the structure for everything that isn't the classes. And the other aspect of this that I believe is it's connected. And what you do is a great example. What you're doing is, it is academic. You are getting a skill. You're learning about writing, you're learning about graphic design, you're learning about budgeting, you're learning about running an enterprise. That's all real education, real skills. But it's not a class. You know, it's not the same as someone standing lecturing at you about how this works. You're getting experience. So that's the second answer. Creating more organizations, more opportunities to do things within a structure, you know, where the club or the newspaper has a regular schedule, has events, and is doing things, and that's what Dwayne as dean oversees and helps do. Third answer I'm going to give you. So now I'm going to turn to something not as positive, but important. So we just put out a couple of statements. One was about the shooting in Colorado Springs. I want to be clear. And I know they have to investigate, they have to do other things, but it's already apparent this is a hate crime. It targeted people who were LGBT and allies. It was deadly. It was deliberate. I will not hesitate to say it was morally wrong. And some people have said to me, what are you as a college president in New York City, what are you doing writing a statement about something that didn't happen on your campus? Well, the answer is it affects people here. It affects faculty, staff, and students. And I know that. And I see it as a responsibility that I have when these really terrible, deliberate things happen. my view of how college presidents should behave is anyone in leadership role should use that to say that was wrong and we have got to change. It's not enough just to make statements. You know, we have offices here and I've tried to enhance what they do, whether it's J.C. Carlson's office that helps to support people who are LGBT and who may be coming out facing issues with their parents. So we've got to put resources into this. We had an event just a couple nights ago that was a Black Asian solidarity bridge building event. I think that's fantastic to tough work of bridge building. And it got Zoom bombed. It was Zoom bombed by someone who used the N-word, who, again, morally wrong. I don't just mean offensive. I don't mean just to me personally. I mean that violates the ideals that we celebrate here. It was important, and that was one of our programs jointly. There's some others involved, but I put out a statement about that to support our faculty and staff who are part of this, because I know it affects people even when it's words. Sometimes people say, "Oh, come on, people have free speech rights." Yeah, I get that, and I'm exercising my free speech rights to say, even when it's just words, as someone who grew up with the common cruelty of childhood, of bullying, you know, racist bullying, I know that these words pack a punch. But there's something else that I'll say about these statements. We're not perfect. And if people read something that I put out, I'll let you in on a secret, this is not anything that wouldn't, I don't actually write everything that has my name on it, but I do edit it, and I'm responsible, so I don't want you to take it the wrong way. Whether I wrote every word or not, if it has my name on it, if it's at Queens College, that's on me. Okay. And some people, the first statement that we put out, said, you know, not strong enough. And I appreciate that people have given me that feedback. I want to hear that because, sadly, that's not the first time I've put out a statement about homophobia, and it won't be the last. And I want to do better next time. So those are my three answers. One, in-person activities that you're a part of, that I'm a part of, where we interact. Two, organizations to enhance everything that's extracurricular, co-curricular, related to academics, not related to academics, but through organizations, because that's how you'll get things done. Third is, whenever we see something that's wrong, I'm going to call it out, and then I'm going to ask, how can we here do better? And part of that, this last thing I'll say, we have a chief diversity officer. If you're looking to profile someone, Jarema DeWeese, she's the only dean of diversity in the CUNY system. We quadrupled the size of that office. Right? So people have sometimes said, well, it's nice to give a speech or to say some things, but you know, are you going to actually invest money? Yeah, we created a new role in addition to the Title IX compliance role, which was already there, and authorized her to hire three more people. That's four more people in that office in 2.5 years, so it's quintupling the size of that office. That's resources that we're putting into it, and she's hired a diverse range of people. She is herself both Black and African American, and she hired someone who identifies as LGBT. That's important, and in all of her hiring, she's living up to what that office is all about. Sorry, that was a long answer, but I wanted to share so you get a sense of what we're doing. Would you like to add?
Yes, if you don't mind.
Please.
It'll be to point number two that President Wu made, which talks about the organization and that extracurricular or that co-curricular component. And Dwayne, you're going to correct me if I misstep here. But one of the other things that we have done is we've had positions within the Office of Student Development and Leadership that were vacant for probably about 5 years now, 4 or 5 years. Luckily, we're going to be able to say that those positions are going to be filled for this spring semester. And why is that exciting? is because you actually now have professional staff that will be available to assist students in creating and supporting them with that co-curricular, that extracurricular opportunity, but not only assisting students, but also creating those opportunities, right? So as we talk about the out of the classroom experience, there'll be someone there assisting and ensuring that we continue to have Club Day and Spring Fest, and not just put all of those responsibilities on the student leaders, but as administrators, as professionals, bringing some of those opportunities to you. So that's one. The second thing is on the other side of my responsibilities from the admissions point of view, we're actually engaging our prospective students earlier than we had in the past. So what we're doing is, if you have stated you are interested in being a part of the Queens College community, you think you want to be a Queens College student, we will start sending you invitations to campus activities. So you'll get a discounted ticket to be part of a Kupferberg event, or go see a dance performance or a theater production. But some way or another, we're looking for ways for prospective students, to actually be a part of campus before they even pay that deposit. And one of the reasons why I feel that's important is because you're introduced to that type of lifestyle. You're introduced to being a part of the campus community earlier. So now, attending a basketball game is not something that's odd to you. You were doing it before you even decided that you were going to take your first class at Queens College. So again, for me, it's about changing the culture. It's about changing the community. And part of the reason why that's important is we're looking at 2 years where we had students that were online. You're looking at students that don't know one another. They know each other in that virtual box. And that's assuming that you turned your screen on. So we're looking at students that do not know how to socialize with one another, and we need to assist and provide opportunities for that socialization. And that's not just students that are here on campus, that's going to be students that are coming from the high school straight through, because they also had that same virtual campus experience. So,
one last word about your campus. I'm proud of our identity. This is a school of people who are striving. You're folks who want to improve your lot in life. This is not a school of rich people. I don't want it to be a school of rich people. Now, many of you, I don't know anything about your backgrounds. Many of you come from solid middle class backgrounds. That's great. I know, too, that some students suffer housing insecurity, food insecurity. We've got the Knights Table Food Pantry. I don't want that for anyone to feel stigma about any of that. I am proud that we are a school that helps lift people up. And I know, too, that you can come from a background where you feel middle class. Parents are both there, you got a house, you got a car, but then a pandemic hits. And I know this from our students. And one of your parents who used to work for an airline gets laid off, and suddenly, you got a problem paying the mortgage for that house, right? The car might get repossessed. And we want to be here for you. The most touching thing I did during the pandemic was help give out food with the Knights Table. No questions asked, free food, show your ID. And we went to downtown Flushing and a few other places to do this. Wow, the students who came, just like you, maybe one of you, they were so grateful that their college was doing that, and that made me realize I'm at the right place. So I think it's fine to be a commuter campus. And I live in the neighborhood. I live less than a mile from here. I walk most days. And of course, we do have a residence hall, which we want people to live in if they're looking to get away. But something else I realize, I didn't know this at first. I was thinking commuter campus, gee, that's tough for our students. And for a moment I thought maybe they're missing out on something that I experienced when I went away to college. So I went away, 500 miles away. That's not a commute, right? I moved away. But I realized for our students, we are offering that too. What I mean is, some of our students, and I'm in no way judging anyone, not judging your parents, but I've realized some of our students, and every ethnicity, every faith, They've got tradition-minded parents who say, you're not moving out of this house till you're married, right? Because I've met some of our students who are like that. But then they come here, and for 8 hours in a day, they're out of the house. And I realize, you know what? We actually are giving them that experience as a commuter campus where they get away. And I'll let you in on something. I know one of your secrets. I didn't quite understand this. Actually, our vice president may have explained this to me. Some students have secret boyfriends and girlfriends here at Queens College that their parents don't know about. Is that true? Yeah. All right. Don't worry, you don't have to out yourself. I think that's good. I think that's all right. Because that's something else that we're providing to people. That for the first time in their lives, they're getting out of their house. But they can go back to their loved ones, right? But you get 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, if you're on the newspaper, you're working late in the night, where you are getting the non-party school version of the complete experience. And that's what I want to offer you. Because that is also part of college, that's part of the American dream.